All God's children said. Amen. Brothers and sisters, without any further ado, will you please join me in a word of prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you on this day, and Lord, we each come here today under differing circumstances, but many of us all sharing a similar heart and mind of your love, of your plan, of our love for one another, of the challenges that we face in this life, of the rescue and the deliverance that you offer, of our home and the sweet by and by. And in this time right now that we have before that day where we minister, where we love, where we laugh, where we share, Father God, we have this moment and you have gifted us with it. And I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to take full advantage of this moment. Lord, just as I know you will, I pray the healing will continue. I pray new insights will be given. I pray a taste of glory will rain down from your heavenly throne. And I pray, dear Father, we each pray, we join together in this prayer, dear God, that each and every one of us, in a very short while from now, when we say amen, and we close in song, and we go our way, that Father God, we will each go a little more healed, a little more loved, and understanding how greatly we are cherished by you. Help us to cherish you all the more, dear Lord. Help us to cherish one another all the more. And Lord God, give us this day. We love you, Lord, in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Well, here we are, brothers and sisters. For those of you who are astute and studious amongst you, some of you might have opened up your bulletin and found out that you have the same sermon today you were supposed to have last week. Why is that? Well, we didn't get it last week. I'm not going to hide from the great truth, but I'm not going to also dwell on it any longer than necessary. Last Sunday, we had a challenge, and there's no doubt about it. But when the title of your sermon last week was supposed to be A Faith Lived in All Circumstances, how do you take a circumstance like this and then not preach that message? I want to share something with all of you. In spite of the events of this last week, God loves you more than you will ever comprehend. God's love for you is so overwhelmingly amazing. He has it in abundance that he wishes to rain down from his throne on high. His love is so pure and so amazing that if we were to get but a taste of it in its purity right here and right now, I do not believe we could handle it, brothers and sisters. I believe it would surely slay us. The love of God in its purest, most unadulterated form is something that at this moment you and I are not equipped to handle. But the scripture says the day is coming. The day is coming when in the twinkling of an eye, we will all meet him in the air and we will become transformed. This which is mortal will be clothed with that which is immortal. This which is corruptible will be clothed in incorruption. And the scripture says that we will become as we were always meant to be, for we will finally see him as he really is. Brothers and sisters, it is not my intention today to give you a sad sermon. God is alive and well. God is with us right now. And he is able to seek and to save that which is lost. And he is able to mend and repair that which is hurt or broken. Brothers and sisters, our God is an awesome God. Now, the scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, it says this: And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples. Reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the work of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, at first glance, this passage of Scripture, it might grab us when compared to some as seeming rather uneventful. But au contraire, every word of God's word is rich and full with meaning and with blessing. What's going on here is they're talking about something that would do you and I a lot of good right now. The first thing they're talking about here is a regular pattern. It says, he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. All throughout the book of Acts so far, from the moment of Saul's conversion and when he became Paul, when he stopped being a murderer of Christians and started being an active Christian witness himself, he developed a regular pattern. And everywhere he went, he proclaimed the love and the glory of God. In any and all circumstances, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you, if your heart is hurting today, if your mind is heavy today, getting back into the regular pattern of proclaiming God and His great love is going to be a help for you that medicine could never accomplish. The Scripture says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. The Scripture also says that out of the same well cannot come both fresh and salt water. If you are a well springing up with the gospel that leads unto eternal life, brothers and sisters, that is a pattern for a healthy heart, mind, and soul that will get you through the challenges of your day and the storms of your life. When Isaiah and Elisha were having one of their moments, and the younger prophet said to the older, "They're after us. They're coming to get us." Elijah said, "Lord, let them see with different eyes." And instantly, it was revealed to Elisha that in the ground all around them and all the way across the countryside and into all of the mountains surrounding them were the Lord's flaming chariots, equipped with His angels, with His mighty servants of valor and war. And for but that brief moment, they were allowed eyes with which to see that the provision of God did not exist just as a thing, but rather, the provision of God is not just there, but it is overwhelmingly there. Overwhelmingly so is the God's protection of you, and is our God's protection of you and His great love for you. And in moments like this, where the Scripture says that there are times when we come before Him as a dry and weary land in need of rain, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to pray to God that His raindrops of mercy would fall upon you in your life, because they are there and He can give them, and He can give them in abundance. I had a moment in my life that was but, I'm afraid these last few weeks are a bit of a blur, but I think it was just 3 weeks ago that I stood before this church and I shared that morning at 7:32 to be exact, I got the call from my brother that my father had passed away. And I stood before all of you here And I shared that I had not dropped one tear of sadness on my father's behalf because I knew where my father was. And God, when we have those moments when we're saying, Lord, I want to get back to my regular pattern. Lord, I want to get back to just the worship of you and the adoration of you and letting you fill my soul and blessing through the day. But Lord God, this trial has come. And it's here. And it was my trial a few weeks ago. And I stood before all of you and I said, my faith is intact. I believe the Lord allowed me that moment to say to you all that our God is bigger than anything we will ever encounter. And he gave me that opportunity in my own life. And I only stand here now not to say, look at me, but to say, please remember with me that our God is bigger and our God is able. And his chariots and his angels with their flaming swords are all around us right now. And not only are they good and mighty in war, they war against the darkness in our hearts and our minds as well. Let the raindrops of mercy that can fall from God's holy throne hold you in this day. But as we struggle, we see something in this regular pattern. The regular pattern, which at this moment existed for 3 months, was Paul preaching. The scripture says that that preaching involved reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. His kingdom, what does that mean, God's kingdom? Well, there is the one concept of God's kingdom that is everything and all things that he has made, which is everything and all things. The book of John chapter 1 says that through him, everything that is came to being, and that without him, nothing has come into being. He is the creator of all of this. And the scripture also goes on to say that if there's anything good, beautiful, wonderful, or lovely, that it rains down as a gift from above. God has created all that there is, but in addition to that, he is the author of all good things. His kingdom, it does include all of creation, but for you and I today, when we put it in context, his kingdom, he is saying, is not of this world. The things of this world, of this terrestrial world, are those broken things, those tired things, those frustrating things. The things of this world that can bring us down, that is the things of this terrestrial kingdom. But the things of God's celestial kingdom are the things of blessing, the things that will touch you, the things that will change you, the things that when you hear them will turn your mourning into joy. That when you hear them and receive them and drink them in and make them part of you, will turn your mourning into dancing. Even if that dancing is the floss. For those of you who know the language of which I speak. Now, but what if his kingdom? There was an inside story on that. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. There's bigger things to worry about. So what is his kingdom? Yes, his kingdom includes this creation, but in context, it's not of this world. His kingdom includes you. And if I may, for just one moment, I want to challenge all of you with this. What is your purpose? Who are you? What were you meant to be? His kingdom includes you, and it includes his plan for you and what he wants to work in you. You each have been purposed by the Lord God Almighty. Not a single person that has ever walked the face of this earth has been an accident. Not a single person that has ever walked the face of this earth did God not intend for them to be here. But what we do once we're here is sometimes things that we work in our own free will. You see, God has a will, and his will is sovereign. But in his sovereign will, his will has been expressed as permissive, meaning you and I get to go and do as we want sometimes. Doesn't mean it's healthy or good, but we get to do what we want. But all too often, when we go out in our freedom and God's permissive will, doing what we want, we will often find that what we want to do is not God's plan for our lives. God's plan for your life lived out is going to bring about his purpose for you. Too many people today are lost. Too many people today are spinning their wheels in their own heart, not knowing who they are, what they are, why they are. And it leads us to too many bad choices. I need to share with you all today. First of all, what you are is dearly loved by God. Dearly, dearly loved by God. He dotes upon you. He cherishes you. He watches you from his throne in heaven, and his spirit surrounds you, and Jesus Christ longs to live within you, affecting you sovereignly, affecting you in your life, and affecting you from the inside out. God wants to touch you and do something beautiful inside of you. John 3:16, perhaps the most famous words ever penned, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, I want you to consider for a moment. Y'all go outside, and you go outside in your non-church knowledge, you go outside in your worldly knowledge, and you just go out there, and you live your life, and you might walk along, and you might see a rock, and you might reach down and pick up that rock, and you might say, "Well, my goodness, this rock would be good for skipping. This rock could be good for being a paperweight. I might glue a couple eyes to it, make a pet rock out of it." There's all kinds of things you could do with that rock. But if, as you sit there and as you ponder that rock, you might, you know, if you go back to your high school geology class and physical science class, you might say, "Wow, gee whiz, this rock has been hanging around for a million billion years, just waiting for me to come along and glue a couple eyes to it and call it mine and pet it and name it George. But it's been here a million years. It's been polished by grains of sand and by oceans long withdrawn." You might say a lot of things. And you might pick up another one that's just like it, or similar, or maybe completely opposite to it. And you can say these things. Surely it might seem like this rock has been here forever. But then you might walk along and you see something else shiny. And you reach down and you pick it up. And you say, "Whoa, that's a strange looking rock. That's not like any rock I've ever seen. It's so smooth, and it's flexible, and it's shiny, and it makes a noise. And it's got this one little thing that keeps going around, and two that don't seem to move." And then you take that rock and you flip it over and you see like scribbling on it. And you say, "Wow, to think sands thrown to and fro by ocean waves have made these unusual markings upon this and arrayed them to where it almost looks like someone made it." But no, it's just a rock. And then you find out that if you take some tools, you can take the back off of it. And then, wow, you're thoroughly amazed because you see umpteen million gears and springs and all kinds of things and things moving and catching back and forth, and you say, "Wow, and to think this all just happened." Then you throw it back in the water and you move on. You know full well, not just because of my words, but because of your eyes, I'm describing my watch. I defy you in love. That if you could find a watch on the side of the road or upon the beach, and you pick it up, and you can determine with your own finite imagination that this thing was purposed, that it was designed, that it was crafted, that it was put together, and that it has a purpose. If you can fathom that with just our own little brains that we got between these two ears, then don't you dare ever look yourself in the mirror and utter words like worthless or unloved or no purpose or no ability. You need to look at yourself and you need to see how divinely inspired you are. That you were crafted by the Master's hands, put together with the greatest care this universe has ever known. That the scripture says that God himself, in contrast to everything else that there is, he stopped, he reached down, he grabbed some dirt from the earth, he turned it into clay, he molded it into the shape of a person, he breathed his own breath of life into that person, and then we were. You were made by the loving hands of our God. Why? Because he loves you. He cherishes you. And he designed you, crafted you, made you, put you together with a purpose. And I know you're all hanging on the edge of your seat now, and we say, well, what is that purpose? I want to share with you why you are. Why you are here, why all of this is made, why it was all made and given to mankind to be the stewards of and the caretakers of and to rule over. It was all done for two reasons. God wants to love you, and he wants to be loved by you. I can tell you this. God does love you. The challenge is, do you love him? Brothers, sisters, in God's sovereign will, he has chosen to have a permissive will. And in that permissive will, he has given us the ability to decide. At church, we often sing a song at the end of, and it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Before y'all break out in song, but know it with me, and this sermon gets longer than necessary. Brothers and sisters, decisions need to be made. Make a decision that glorifies God. Make it for yourself. Make it for those around you that you can have an impact upon. And brothers and sisters, in all ways possible, go to them, get them, bring them somewhere, somehow, some way. Share with them the love of God, that they are not a mistake, that they were made on purpose, and they are beautiful, cherished by God, and allow them to have the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let their lives be transformed as he comes in, forgiving them of their sins and gifting them with an eternal walk with him that begins here on this earth and abides with us for all eternity. The scripture says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God has said, referencing the right arm, the strong arm. The strong arm of the Lord God Almighty will uphold you. He will uphold you without any expression or possibility of weakness. The Lord will take you where you are, and he will transform you from the inside out. In Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, brothers and sisters, if I was to say, if there was anyone here that when they hear those words, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, is there even one of you I can get an amen out of? Amen. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Then comes the challenge, though. We look ourselves in the mirror. We come with just a basic sense of philosophy and theology. And we understand, look at us. We couldn't have just come out of nothing. We've been crafted by a loving God. Then comes that challenge. If God is so loving, and in fact, the way you Christians put it, that he is love incarnate, and he has this design, and he has this plan, then why am I where I am? Why are these things happening to me? Why my shame? Why my pain? Why my guilt? Why did I suffer? Why have others hurt me? It's an appropriate time to ask those questions. And I want to share with you something. There's a reason for it. There's a fly in the ointment, brothers and sisters. There's a wrench in the gears. An anti-design. And his name is Satan. And words that I have shared with this church family before, and I will again, the Bible does not hide from the existence of the devil. Christ himself spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. But the scripture gives a job description. And it says of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he has come that you and I might have life and that more abundant. But of Satan, it is said that he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If I go home and my dogs ripped the ham off the counter and ate it, which they didn't, don't worry. I promise you, the ham we brought is dog-free, okay? But if it had, it certainly wouldn't be Mary Ann's fault, or would it? Of course not. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to give credit where credit is due. God loves you, and he's working for you. Our enemy hates what God loves. And what he loves is you and me. So we have our seasons. We have our times of struggle. Oh, but praise be unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of that first Easter morning, our enemy is a defeated foe. His days are numbered. The scripture, in fact, testifies that there is going to be a time when he, as well as every knee that has ever been born, will bow and will proclaim that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords unto the glory of the Father. There is going to be a time when the one who has worked so much pain in our lives is going to pay a price. But for here and for now, the encouragement is this. Cling to Jesus Christ. Let him hold you. He will bring you through. He will touch you. He will glorify himself within you. He will turn your mourning into joy and into dancing. He will move in you. Brothers and sisters, these are promises of Scripture, not just platitudes of a preacher. This is God's own word. Hebrews 6:9 says this. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation,
though we are speaking in this way. The apostles and the prophets, they spoke in a certain way. They didn't hide from the fact that there was pain in life. They didn't hide from the fact that we had an enemy. They didn't hide from the fact that things were going to come up, that people were going to lie to you, that people were going to try to get you to believe that you're not the loving handiwork of the Lord God Almighty, that you weren't made with a design, that you don't have a purpose. They knew the lies would come. But then they said, but better things are expected of you, things that accompany salvation. What accompanies salvation, brothers and sisters? Let me share ever so briefly what salvation is. We have all messed up somewhere, some when. Amen? We've all done one of them little things we call sin. Sin separates us from God. That's the message of the Scripture. God is holy. Nothing less than holy can abide with the Lord God Almighty. We had fallen, spiritually speaking. Salvation is when we hear the gospel message and we turn to Jesus Christ, that one that John 3:16 testified that He was given so that you and I might not perish but have everlasting life. We turn to Him and we pray and we receive Him into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior. And He comes in and being the last sacrifice ever, the Scripture says His blood covers us. The message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ paid the price for everything that we have ever done wrong. Every thought, every action, every word, every deed, that on the cross He paid the price. And that now, any who would put their faith in Him could receive His forgiveness, could receive His cleansing, and be indwelt by the Lord God Almighty. The Scripture says, this is the mystery, Christ in you. Brothers and sisters, we've got to talk briefly about failing forward. The Scripture says, but when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, He withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This is an important passage, though at first it might seem kind of like easy to read over. We have our moments in life where the obstacles are great. And in those moments, there might be a time, a season, if you will, where you got to step back a little bit, where you got to regroup, where you use a little bit of what we call me time. But let your me time be me and thee time. Time with God, because that's where your soul becomes refreshed. Learning to fail forward. Jigoro Kano, a Japanese man that invented the martial art known as judo. If any of you are on Facebook, you might have seen a Facebook slogan that goes around every now and then with no author attributed to it, but it was actually by him. The expression, fall down seven times, get up eight. Well, in judo, you become really good at falling down because that's the whole purpose. You grab people, you pick them up, and you throw them down on their back. And when you are the student, you spend a lot of time looking up. You spend a lot of what they call airtime. The advanced person, the teacher, grabs you, sends you for a ride, and you land on the ground. And especially in the new days, the young days, you're laying there on your back and you're asking yourself that question, was this trip really necessary? Why am I here? Well, the lesson from Jigoro Kano goes into our lives pretty well, I think. Brothers and sisters, you might have felt like your entire life, you keep falling down.
You might spend an awful lot of time with a worm's eye view to your opponent, looking up at life, wondering why life's up there and you're down here. It's because if that's your perspective, it's time to get back up. Consider again, one more time, your design. If you ever thought about it, you have been made different than the rest of all creation. And this is testified to in the scripture, as we already shared, that God crafted us from the mud of this world, formed us out of clay, an artistic expression, and he breathed life into us. Unlike everything else in this world, you and I are upright. Amen, Donna. Love you, kiddo. We are upright. This is how we were made. Our eyes are in front of our face. We stand up. We take accountability of all the things around us. Our faces don't walk around in the dirt. We don't walk around looking for like some piece of wheat we can eat or anything else. We're up here. We were made to literally be the princes and princesses under God's own domain, under his own dominion, presiding over all that there is. We were given, though we are of this earth, our feet are on it. We are given a bird's eye perspective, eyes forward, upright, caretakers of all that we survey. This is our perspective. And this should be your perspective. Allow God to put you on your feet. Literally, physically, but spiritually as well. Lean on him. 1 Peter 5:10 says this: after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I don't know about y'all, but there have been some times in my life where there have been some comforting words. After you have suffered for a little while, when the author of all things evil thinks that he's won, when he thinks that he's distracted you, when he thinks that he has harmed you, in like the charge of the light brigade comes the Lord our God. And he comes down and he picks you up and he teaches you to stand firm. And he gives you the strength to stand firm all the more so. Even when you have done all you can do to stand firm, he says, stand firm all the more so, for he is with you. And he himself will perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. And in John 10:10, speaking of our adversary, it says this: the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And lastly, brothers and sisters, once we've learned to fail forward, that though we fall, though we stumble, though it be of our own design or something out of our control, when God has picked us back up and put us on our feet, the work goes on. Amen? If you heard me say those words, the work goes on. Amen? And you said amen, I have good news for you. You are here with me. And we are here with him. Amen. This is your time. And my encouragement to each and every one of you is to make your time God's time. What does that mean? The scripture said in verse 10, this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. The apostle Paul, after all that he went through, after all of the things that he's already faced, being beaten, left for dead, and everything else, he still goes from city to city to city,
preaching and teaching, share with all who will listen the same things that we are sharing here and now, that Jesus Christ loves you. And it says that he did this for 2 years so that everyone heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today you have heard a large portion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you become a Christian? We shared that briefly. You pray. You admit to God that you are a sinner and that you've fallen short of his glory. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you do, guess what? He does. And he leaves you clean. And he leaves you pure. And there's no sensation like it in all of this earth to stand with God, before God, blameless in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't just make you blameless. He inspires you. One thing that I know is that when the love of Jesus Christ touches someone, they want to tell someone else. It is a good news you cannot keep to yourself. Brothers and sisters, I need to ask you a serious question. Are you comfortable with church and your walk with God just being, coming here, hearing, leaving, coming back, having a potluck, leaving, and then doing it all over again next month? Or do you think that just maybe God wants you to have the kind of faith and to be the kind of servant that literally rocks this world? I challenge you. Are you on fire for Jesus Christ? Do you know in your heart of hearts that there's an entire school right over there that needs to hear the gospel? Do you know in your heart of hearts that you've got neighbors on your right and on your left and behind you and in front of your house that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, I have good news. I am not going to keep you much longer at all. The Lord has had me say what he wanted me to say. But the challenge is before you. I shared, and I believe God gave me the words a few weeks ago to stand here in front of all of you and to say that my faith was intact, so that we could know today that our faith can be intact. Even under the darkest of circumstances, the Lord our God is still good. And he is able to seek and to save that which is lost. And he is able to seek and to save and repair that which has been broken, that which needs mending. Brothers and sisters, the Lord your God is ready to be everything that you need him to be, so that he can become in your life what he has always wanted to be, the lover of your soul. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how else I can say it, so I'm not going to try. But let me close on these words. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, the opportunity is before you right now. We are going to sing in less than 60 seconds. And if you need to pray and ask Jesus into your heart, then I ask you to walk this aisle and come and pray and receive. If you know Jesus, but you know you need to rededicate your life, then walk this aisle and let's pray that prayer and get right with God and let's get up and serve him. Maybe there's another decision. Maybe you need to join the church. Maybe you need to rejoin the church. Maybe you need to be baptized. In this difficult time, how has God moved in your life? Brothers and sisters, will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you in this day, happy and whole in your love. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done here, all that you have meant to us, Lord God. for the way that you want to move within us. Lord God, it humbles us to know that you, the God of all creation, miracles, signs, and wonders, that you want to live inside of us. You want to take up residence in our very soul. You want to converse with us, share with us, love us. Lord God, don't let anyone here hold back. But Father, if we need to be right with you, help us to come. Help us to step out. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. And let this moment now mark a change in this community. We love you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?
As we sing, I surrender all. Sister has come with a decision on her heart. She's asked me to do the talking, but if it didn't come, you want to interrupt, you go right ahead. She has come today standing before you today, and these are my words, not hers, showing you the strength and the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And what a joy and what a glory it has been for me over this last week to see this lovely lady lighting the way through this difficult time. And she has come here today with a decision on her heart. She wants to rededicate her life to Jesus Christ, her Lord and personal Savior. Now, what does this mean? Brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. You only ask Jesus into your heart once, and he comes in, and he doesn't let go. But there comes a time in many a Christian's life when they say to themselves, you know what? It's time to make it real. It's time to get back to the person that I know I'm supposed to be in his service and in his kingdom, and this sister has now come just 1 week and has said, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. This is beautiful.
Amen.
And this is glorious. And all God's children say,
amen.
This is the power of Jesus Christ. Only God. No self-help book, okay? No television psychologist, no article out of the newspaper does this. This is the power of God. The Lord reaches down and says, I am going to take you who has journeyed through as dark of a valley as anyone can go. But yea, though you walk through it, you're going to fear no evil. You're going to know I am with you. And your actions and your words and your love are going to proclaim that I am real to all those around you. I'm not trying to put all that in your mouth, sister, but it's what I see and it's what I know. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I ask you, before we leave today, grab me at lunch. Phil, Rich, there's probably a few people here who are qualified. Grab them and say, can you pray with me? And I'm going to speak for them, no matter how hungry they are. They are going to stop what they are doing, and they are going to pray with you. In here, in a room, whatever, and you will know what it means to be a Christian. You will know what it means to have the love of God come upon you. Or maybe, if you're here and you know that you prayed and you've asked Jesus into your heart before, maybe it's time for you to just say, I need to make it real. I need to live the life. Then please, grab us and let us know. This time is God's time. Lastly, if you rejoice with this sister in the decision that she has made, how the Lord has been helping her, will you please let me know by giving me a very hearty amen.
Amen.
Rich?
Dear Lord, we come to that time in your service. Give that small portion of what you said that you blessed us with. Lord, bless each. Bless each donation for you.
Young lady and her husband back there, and everybody else.